Good evening and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. So I am 30 minutes away from the Florida state line. I've been on the road for about 4 hours now. I have about 3.5 hours left to get to where I'm staying, my Airbnb in Lake Mary, Florida. So Orlando is the closest major city, so that's why, you know, that's why they say Orlando, where I'm going. But Lake Mary is a little north of Orlando, maybe about 20, 30 minutes northeast of Orlando. But yeah, wow, now that the sun is down and it's dark, OMG, I am feeling it. While the sun was out, you know, I didn't really feel so sleepy or tired. But now that it's dark, it's almost 8 p.m., 7:45. Looks like I'm going to arrive at the Airbnb a little after 11:30 if I don't make any more stops. Oh, man. So I'll probably get there around midnight. But the host of the Airbnb, you know, I already let them know. They said no problem. Just take my time. Be safe. So they seem like really cool people. But yeah, gonna get there and crash. I told Charlie's parents. Charlie's the aggressive Shih Tzu, the fear aggressive, because she's aggressive because she's terrified, you know, and that's just how she has learned to behave. But she's super aggressive, make no mistake about that. So I told Charlie's parents that I will plan on getting there by 10 a.m. And yeah, we'll groom Charlie tomorrow. And this time, you know, I'm gonna stream it live on YouTube, and it's not gonna be pretty. It is not gonna be pretty. She's gonna attack me. She's gonna bite. She's gonna scream. She's gonna, you know, fight. It's not gonna be easy to watch. It's not gonna be easy to go through. You know, I'm not gonna enjoy it, you know. Getting bit. Who enjoys getting bit, right? It's painful. But it's worth it. Because I know that I'm helping. You know, even though she may not feel like I'm helping her. She may not believe it. You know, in fact, she's going to be convinced. Charlie the Shih Tzu. She's going to be convinced that I'm hurting her and I'm attacking her. And, you know, she has to bite me and she has to attack back. She has to fight for her life. That's how she's gonna act. But no matter how impossible it seems, no matter how dangerous and risky it feels, and there's a real chance, there's a real possibility that things might not work out, and it'll be live on YouTube, which is why I was kind of scared to stream it the first time. But I feel like this time I'm going to face my fears and I'm going to stream it live anyways, even if it makes me look bad, even if there's a chance that, you know, it might ruin me, even though there's a chance that she might get injured live on YouTube. There's a lot that could go wrong. But I think it's worth it to show that nothing is impossible. And I feel like this is why we're here, right? This is why we exist, so that we can use our skills and our talents, use the gifts that we have, because all of us have unique gifts and talents and skills that we've developed over the years through our experiences that we can use to help others, right? Solve a real problem for someone else, lighten the burden that someone else is carrying. And, you know, I mean, of course, I can't help everybody, you know, I don't even have the skills or the resources to help everybody. But I do have this unique set of skills where I'm good with dogs. I understand and I feel what they're feeling. And I can, you know, use scissors like a champ, baby. And the clippers, you know, like I'm a skilled dog groomer, and my specialty has been working on dogs that other groomers refuse to groom because of the liability issue, because they're so dangerous, because there's such a huge risk of either the dog getting hurt or the groomer getting hurt. And I don't blame people. It's a very sane, rational decision not to groom a dog like this. But for me, I feel like I'm uniquely qualified for it. And it makes me feel so alive. It makes me feel like I'm doing exactly what I was put here on Earth to do. You know, because I know that not a lot of people can do it. And I don't know, I just feel, it makes me feel like this is a unique gift that I have, that I can, you know, when I was out in Arizona, there was this one dog that came, and it was a toy poodle, super aggressive, and just unresponsive, uncooperative, and would go on full attack mode. But I would groom her, you know, and just work with her and be patient, let her bite me, you know, and then I would be able to give her a really nice little teddy bear, little puppy cut, you know, and with little round teddy bear head. And her mom was just overjoyed. And that's why I do it. Because I know that the dog is going to feel much better when I'm done. You know, they're not going to have all these matted hair and tangles pulling at their skin, making them feel uncomfortable. They're going to be clean, and, you know, feeling nice, smelling good, you know, and the parents feel so happy and relieved that their dog is safe and clean, and that I was able to solve a real problem for them that caused them a lot of stress and worry and anxiety. You know, like Alicia Keys says in her song, we are here for all of us. That's why we're here, right? And yeah, I'm driving almost 8 hours, you know, to get down there. And it's like, that's a full day. That's a full day for some people, you know, like 8 hour drive. Why? Why in the world would someone do that? You know, I mean, I'm only charging for to cover my expense for the trip, you know, and of course they pay me, you know, they don't have to, and they know they don't have to, but they paid me double what I asked last time. And you know, they don't have to this time either, but you know, I don't know, they might, they're so nice, but that's not why I'm doing it. There's, you know, if this was not something that I wanted to do, there's no amount of money that would you know, motivate me to drive 8 hours and then get bit up by a dog, you know. And you know, it's like, it's not about the money for me, it's about doing something that, to me, in my opinion, is art. I'm being an artist. This is my artwork. Because, you know, like Seth Godin said, like I mentioned in the previous podcast episode, what makes your work art is that you give everything. You pour your whole heart into it, knowing that there's a risk that it will be rejected or unwanted, and knowing that it might not work out. This might not work, but you put everything into it anyways because you care that much about it. And it's generous in nature. The nature of your work is generous. And the third criteria would be that it touches it. The heart of the receiver. It changes the heart of the receiver. It makes a positive impact in their life and causes change. You know, gives them a real solution to their problem. That's what makes art, art. And that's why I do it, because it makes me feel like life is worth living when I'm living my purpose. Confucius has a really good quote. He says, we all have two lives, and the second begins the moment we realize we only have one. Right? We all have two lives. The first life we live as if we're going to live forever, as if we don't really have to make the most of our time here because there's something after this. And there might be, who knows? I don't know. You know, like Eleanor Roosevelt said, I don't believe in reincarnation, but I may have in another life, in a previous life. So I mean, who knows? There might be reincarnation. There might be heaven. There might be, you know, Valhalla or, you know, Nirvana. Who knows? Who knows what happens after our time here on Earth? Maybe nothing. Maybe we return to dust, and that's the end of the story. Who knows? But what I do know for sure is that we're here right now. I exist right now as this collection of molecules and cells that we call June, right? And you exist right now as the person that you believe you are, you know? We exist right now. This is our time right now here on Earth. This is not a rehearsal. This is our life. And what we can be absolutely sure of is that we're not gonna get to do it again. This is one time. This is a one-shot opportunity. And I realized that there might not be anything after this. There may not be a heaven waiting for us, right? I mean, even if there was, where would this place be? When we look at the Milky Way galaxy, and then we look at all the other galaxies in the universe, I mean, I guess, maybe there's one, maybe heaven is one of those galaxies out there, I mean, where there's streets of gold and, you know, mansions made of diamonds, you know, on streets that are, you know, just floating on top of clouds. I mean, I don't know. But what if there isn't this other dimension that we go to called heaven, right? And the thing is, do we really need that to live a good life, to live a life that we're proud of? Do we really need that as a reward? Or could the life that we live and the memories we create, the experiences that we have, the footprints we leave behind, you know, living a life that we can feel proud of, isn't that reward enough? Do we really need a heaven? You know, because didn't Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is within, is at hand or something like that? Like, you know, heaven is here now. You know, it just, even though sometimes it may feel like hell, seriously. I mean, let's just be real. Sometimes, you know, just the sadness and, oh man, the difficult emotions that we feel and that we have to go through in this life, the impossibly difficult situations that we have to deal with, that we have no control over because we can't control other people or circumstances. You know, I just have to accept the fact that, you know, the people that I love the most, my daughters, don't really want any part, you know, they don't really want me to be a part of their life right now. I just have to accept that, no matter how much it hurts. You know, and I just have to think about what is the best use of my time right now. You know, well, I can use the gifts and talents that I have to help others. And by lightening their burden, by using my time, my skills, my abilities, you know, by using what I have to help lighten the burden of others, it actually helps lighten my own burden. It actually helps me feel better about my own situation, because I feel like I'm at least being useful to someone else, you know, that at least my existence has some value to someone else, because I'm able to help them with the serious problem that they're facing, you know. And I don't mean to get preachy here. Maybe it's because I am trying to fight sleep, you know, maybe I'm trying to you know, just ramble and rant, you know, at the pulpit, because I'm trying to, you know, stave off, you know, sleepiness, and, you know, who knows, but, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty or anything. I just, you know, I just feel like when we think about our life in the grand scheme of things, you know, in the end, right, in the final analysis, will it really matter how much money we've accumulated, what our net worth was? Will that really matter in the end? I'm not sure. Maybe it will. Maybe. But in my opinion, I think what really is going to matter in the final analysis, when our lives are over, when our time here is done, I think what's really going to matter is the impact we had on others. You know? Not millions. Oh, I mean, shoot, if you make a huge impact on millions of people, great. That is impressive, you know? That's honorable. That's noteworthy, you know? That's very respectable. But I think the numbers don't matter. Even if you make a huge impact on one person's life, I think that is enough. But, you know, I think that if you make a big enough impact on one person's life and you have a unique set of skills to do so, to solve a unique problem for somebody, then, you know, something tells me that you're going to have more, you know, you're going to have a big effect, a big impact on more than just one person. You know, shoot, while I was driving down here, actually, I got a phone call from a new client. I really can't take any more new clients. I don't have a lot of room on my schedule now. But the situation excites me. It's why I do what I do. Her dog, she has a mini golden doodle. And so golden doodles have long curly hair. They look like poodles. And her dog, recently, 2 months ago, got traumatized at a grooming shop, at, you know, at the groomers. And she was telling me that he was the sweetest dog. She would have to stop him from jumping on everybody, greeting everybody, wanting to go say hi to all the dogs. He was just a happy-go-lucky dog. He loved everybody because he didn't have a reason not to. But then after she picked him up at the groomers, he was shaking. He was shaved, and he was not himself. And she said ever since, he's been showing his teeth, growling. He's bitten her, you know, his owner. When he sleeps, sometimes he whines and cries when he's in his sleep. And when she tries to wake him, he gets startled and he bites it. You know, she said she got bit just a few days ago, and, you know, her finger bled. You know, when strangers come up to him now, he growls and shows his teeth. He was traumatized, and he hasn't been groomed since because he was shaved down 2 months ago, and so he doesn't really need a haircut. You know, his body, at least. She's saying his face could use some touch up, but his personality changed. Something happened. Something horrible happened. And now she's saying that he's gotten better now. She's hired a trainer and they've been working on him and he's getting better. She said that they were just at the dog park the other day and he was playing with six other dogs and he's starting to become he's starting to get his old personality back. He's starting to trust again. But, you know, it's been 2 months since they've been working on him to try to get him to be his old self again. But, you know, she was saying that she's just so scared to take him back to the groomers because of what happened. And I told her, I'm so glad you called me. I'm so glad you contacted me because this is why I do what I do. You know, And I told her that she could be there the whole time watching if she likes. And she said she doesn't want to. She trusts me. And, you know, she wants him to have a good experience. You know, and like her being there might be a distraction. But I told her that, you know, if she's okay with it, I'll stream it live on YouTube. That way she can watch, you know, from her room. She can watch it on YouTube live as it's happening. And she doesn't have to be in the room. And she was so happy. She was saying that she's always wanted to see how he does during the groom. And she was just so happy that I was willing to listen to her and you know, understand what the situation is and why she needs somebody to work with him and be gentle and patient and get him to learn to love grooming again. Because she said he used to love getting groomed, but you know, she was living, you know, pretty far from where she lives now. And you know, she doesn't want to make that 2-hour drive to take him back to his old groomer, because she just doesn't want to do that to him, you know, because he doesn't really like going anyways, you know. But he did like that other groomer, but it's a 2-hour car ride each way. So, And with me, my service, I drive to you. You know, I come to you. You know, I set up in their house and groom, you know, there. She doesn't have to go anywhere. And she works from home, so this is perfect. And yeah, I just feel like the work that I do is so meaningful to me, because I feel like I'm not just grooming dogs. I'm not just doing haircuts on dogs, you know. And dogs that, you know, that pretty much anybody else could groom. Maybe even better than I could. Give them better looking haircuts than me. You know, it's very possible. But for me, it's not about doing better haircuts. It's about working with dogs that have special needs. That needs a unique kind of grooming. You know, a proper groom that's tailored to fit their unique set of circumstances, their unique needs, you know, that really solves a problem that they're having. Like this dog, this new dog that I got, the earliest open date that I have is Friday, November 8th, and that's only because someone had to reschedule, so I had to reschedule somebody out of there, and you know, so I just said there out of there. But yeah, I mean, it just worked out where just yesterday, actually, I rescheduled somebody, so that Friday opened up. I got that phone call today, and wow, now I get to help this lady with her dog that's been traumatized. Something happened during that groom, and now he's changed. Now his personality is different. He had this innocent, happy, loving dog that now doesn't trust people or other dogs, and shows his teeth, snaps at people, growls. Something happened, you know, because it was after that she picked him up and he was trembling and shaking. She said she's never seen him like that. You know, and when he sleeps now, you know, if you try to touch him or move him or anything, he growls and snaps and tries to bite. He gets startled. You know, picking him up was an issue. Every time she tried to pick him up or anybody else tried to pick him up, he would get really aggressive. He would, you know, he didn't like it. But before, it was never an issue. You know? It's like if only dogs could talk and let her know exactly what happened. But I mean, he is kind of letting her know that something happened, right? By his behavior, by his personality change, something happened. So this is what really inspires me to continue doing what I do. Even though, you know, I may not be getting, like, you know, recognition for it in the industry. No one's giving me any awards or accolades or anything, because I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for the look in the owner's eyes when I'm finished with the groom and they see their dog is happy beautiful and comfortable, you know, and they know that I was patient with them. They know their dog was really cared for, and I worked with their, you know, quirks. You know, I worked with the issues that they may be having, you know, biting, growling, issues that other people may not be so patient with. You know, they might restrain the dog more, tie them up, you know, put a muzzle on them. But with me, you know, I try to show the dog with my body language that I understand how they're feeling and I respect how they're feeling. And I'm patient and I work with them. I try to guide them through a frightening, terrible experience. And when they're done, show them that, you know, see, it wasn't so bad and it can be a good experience. And now you feel better. You know, it is stress on a dog. There's no way around it. It is stress on a dog, especially if they don't like being groomed and if they've had bad experiences in the past and now they view the whole grooming experience as a battlefield. You know, it's like getting locked in the octagon and now their adrenaline kicks in and they're ready to go. You know, it's like, let's get it on, baby. You know, and they're ready to fight. To be able to take that association that they have, that negative association that they've formed now with grooming, and turn it into something more relaxing, turn it into something beautiful and helpful, you know. So instead of feeling like they just got locked into an octagon, you know, they're just locked into a cage and they're ready to fight, you know, make them feel like they're on a nice massage bed in a spa and they're about to be cared for and loved on. And somebody's going to take care of them, right? This is what gives me a sense of purpose and pride. Knowing that with the work of my own hands, I can create a moment of joy and happiness for the owners to enjoy, to experience, you know, to give people a peace of mind. Oh, nice, I just crossed the Florida state line. So I am in Florida now, at this moment as I speak, because who knows when you're listening to this. But yeah, I just crossed the Florida state line. It says, State of Florida Welcome Center. Nice. Oh man, so I made it to Florida. Now I have maybe about 3 hours left. Maybe a little more than 3 hours, like 3 hours and 20 minutes left before I get to my Airbnb. But yeah, this is why I do it, you know, because if not me, then who, you know, if not now, then when, right? And I mean, and it's not for everyone. This is not for everyone. I understand that, but we all have something, some unique gift and talent that we can develop, a unique set of skills that we can, you know, develop and be of use to someone else, you know, really make an impact on somebody's life. I think we all have that within us. It takes time and it takes a lot of dedication to develop a unique set of skills like grooming aggressive dogs. You know, for whatever reason, you know, who knows why they're aggressive. Most of the time it's because they're scared and they don't trust people. Somebody broke that dog's trust, you know. And I always tell people, how many times does somebody need to assault you, right? How many times do you need to be forced, physically forced to do something that you don't want, and somebody's angry and frustrated with you, even though you're scared and you're trying to tell them, I don't want to do this, I'm uncomfortable, and they force you through it angrily? How many times did that need to happen before you start to get aggressive, right? And that's what's happening to these dogs, being forced through the grooming session. Not all dogs. I mean, most dogs are happy-go-lucky, you know, and they're just fine. But some dogs are a little more sensitive. And this dog, like for example, this new client that I talked to on the phone earlier, she had a happy-go-lucky dog, and he loved everybody. And she was saying that he was the sweetest dog. He was such an angel. And he would never growl at anybody. She was saying you could accidentally step on his tail or something. He would never think to growl or snap or anything, or, you know, react aggressively. But something happened at that grooming location, and when she picked him up, she picked up a changed dog. He was not himself anymore. He was not his happy, loving, you know, innocent self. He was changed. Something happened, and now he's aggressive. He doesn't trust people anymore. And he's, yeah, like, how heartbreaking is that, you know? And she's saying that she feels so guilty that she put him in that situation. She feels guilty that she took him there. And I told her, you know, like, you did the best you could with what you knew. You didn't know that was going to happen, right? And now she's working so hard to try to help him get over the trauma that he experienced. And she reached out to me. She found my, you know, my Facebook page or YouTube channel. I'm not sure, but she said she's been following me for a while now and watching my videos and, you know, reading about my philosophy. And she's saying that she really wants, she really believes that I'm the guy that can help. And wow, it makes me feel incredible. It just makes me feel like, wow, this is why I'm here. This is why I exist. You know, this is what I'm meant to do. I'm fulfilling my purpose in life, my dharma, you know, my ikigai, you know, that Japanese saying, the ikigai, your reason for living. This is my ikigai. This is my reason for living. And so that's why I'm willing to make the drive down to Orlando, Lake Mary, technically, more specifically, make this long drive to help. Because everyone else refused, you know? Because, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. It's just the reality of the situation. People take one look at this Shih Tzu and see the aggression in her eyes and how tense her body gets, stiff and tense and just ready to rip your head off. You mean, if she grabs a hold of your hand, she's ripping it right off of your wrist, you know? If she grabs a hold of your finger, it's coming out of its socket, you know? That's how she behaves. She is ready to go. She's not playing around. She's not playing games, you know? She's playing for keeps. And I don't blame anyone. I'm not trying to put any other groomers down. I don't blame anyone for not wanting to groom her. Shoot, she strikes fear in my heart, you know, because she's so aggressive. But I tell myself, you know, if not me, then who? Right? And I've done dogs like this before. Maybe not to her extent. Maybe not as extreme. I think she's probably the most extreme case I've come across yet. But I have done some very extremely aggressive dogs. And, you know, it's prepared me for this. All the experiences that I've had so far have been preparing me for such a time as this. It's almost like I'm being called to do things like this, to you know, use my unique set of skills, my unique skill set, to help in these extreme cases. And this is my purpose. This is my calling. And this is why I'm able to get through some of the most difficult emotional times that I'm experiencing in my life. I didn't get a wink of sleep last night because I was going through so much heartache and pain. I was feeling so like hurt. I don't know, like, My heart felt heavy. My chest felt heavy. My stomach hurt. My body was shaking, literally trembling. And I could feel my heartbeat, you know, like it would rock my head. I could feel my heartbeat through my forehead, you know, on the top of my head, seriously. And it would feel like my body was like rocking and shaking with the heartbeat while I was laying in bed. You know, but if I didn't have this to look forward to, the dog that I groomed this morning, knowing how, you know, how happy and how much the owners love the haircut that I do. They love the way I work with him. They love the way that I treat him. You know, and then having this to look forward to, going down and grooming this dog in Orlando, or Lake Mary, more specifically, that everyone else has, you know, given up on. And knowing that, you know, that I'm literally saving this dog's life, you know, because they were running out of options. The last option that they had was sedating her at the vet's office and getting her, you know, put under. They would literally give her a shot and have her unconscious. And yeah, and then there's a chance that she won't wake up. But the thing is, the last two times that they did that, they were saying for over a week, for like a week or more, she's angry and upset, and she's not herself. You know, it's like they were saying it's like living with an angry drunk. You know, because she feels violated. Probably she probably woke up like, what, you know, like angry. For over a week, for a week or two, she's, you know. So they just don't want to put her through that anymore. But then what other option do they have? You know, that was the last stop. So I feel like, wow, what an honor it is. What a privilege to be called to help and to be able to help in an impossible situation like this. And I'm, you know, I'm looking forward. I'm excited to stream this live tomorrow on my YouTube channel, because I want to show the world that nothing is impossible. As long as we believe in ourselves, we take the time to develop the skills so that we have the confidence in ourselves, we have confidence in our ability to help in a situation that's really difficult, seemingly impossible. But even the word itself spells I'm possible. Nothing is impossible as long as we believe in ourselves. And you know, I feel like you can't just believe in yourself when you haven't put in the time and the effort, that committed yourself, dedicated yourself to put in the hours necessary to develop the skills that you need to be helpful to someone. You can't just show up with the willingness to help. It takes more than just the willingness to help. You have to be capable. You have to have the ability to help. So willing and able to help. And that time, it takes time to develop yourself. You know, to develop the skills. That those hours of practice, 10,000 hours of deliberate, focused, committed hours of practice so that you can gain mastery in whatever skill set you're trying to achieve. Now you can go out and be helpful to someone. And that's the spice of life, baby. That's what makes life worth living. And Jim Rohn, he was saying that we get paid for bringing value to the marketplace. And he was saying, you know, it takes time to bring value to the marketplace. He understands. It takes time to bring, you know, to be able to bring value to the marketplace. It takes time to become a valuable person in the marketplace. But you don't get paid for the time. You get paid for the value. So, you know, like Gary Vee says, You just gotta be patient and be willing to eat shit for a while until you develop the skills and you become someone who can bring value to others. And you know, and like I said, it's not even about the money for me. As long as I'm able to cover my bills, cover my expenses, I'm good. And that's all I ask for, is for them to cover my expenses. You know, and I'm good. So that I don't have to worry about the money. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to pay for this trip. You know, it's covered. So I'm good. Now I just need to focus on bringing value to Charlie and her owners tomorrow. Because that's what makes me feel like my life is worth living. I hope this was helpful to whoever's listening. It was helpful to me because it keeps me awake having to talk, you know, because when I'm just listening sometimes, when I'm listening to audiobooks or, you know, listening to a podcast, oh man, sometimes it makes me feel drowsy while I'm sleeping. I mean, not sleep while I'm driving. It makes me feel sleepy. So this really helps to be able to talk, feel like I'm talking to someone, and almost like I have a passenger next to me, you know, and just being able to talk. It really helps not feel so sleepy, especially now that it's dark. It's dark, you know, it's October. So the sun goes down early and it is dark and I am feeling it, baby. Especially because I didn't get any sleep last night. Oh my goodness. So this has really been helpful for me, just to talk about how I'm feeling, about what's going on, what excites me, and why I'm willing to do this, why I'm willing to put myself through all of this. You know, is because I feel like it's worth it. You know, I believe that this is what I'm meant to do. And it's worth it to me. You know, it's even more rewarding because it's difficult. You know, because I'm fighting, you know, sleepiness and exhaustion. You know, like, because I didn't get any sleep last night. So it makes it, you know, more difficult to make this drive down there, especially now that it's dark. It feels almost more rewarding because it's difficult, you know? And I think that's why life is designed the way it is. Life is meant to be hard. Life is meant to be difficult because it's meant to be rewarding. Life is designed this way, challenging, difficult. You know, because in the end, when our life is through, when our time here is done, we're supposed to feel rewarded. It's supposed to be rewarding. Our experience here is supposed to feel meaningful. And easy is never rewarding. And so I feel like that's why grooming these difficult dogs, it's incredibly rewarding. The sense of fulfillment and pride that I feel, you know, wow, when I'm done with an extremely difficult groom, the feeling is indescribable. It's like, wow, I did that. Wow, you know? And to see the joy in the parents' eyes, wow. It makes me feel like my time here on Earth was worth it. You know, it meant something that I was here. And, you know, the difficult times that I'm going through, the challenges that I'm having to face, yeah, I know that even though it doesn't feel like it right now, because I'm going through it, I'm in the middle of it, I know that someday in the future, when I get through all of this, I'm going to feel rewarded. I'm going to feel like it was meaningful and worth it. Especially because through my hardships, through my experience of pain and suffering, I'm going to be able to connect with others who are suffering and going through a painful experience I'm going to be able to empathize with them. Not just sympathize, but empathize. You know, really feel what they're feeling and be there with them. To offer my support, to feel connected with them, and help them feel understood. You know, and I think that that's going to make me feel like my pain and suffering was worth it. It wasn't for nothing. Because I'm able to now use those experiences to be helpful to someone else. And I want to thank you for listening to this. I really appreciate your time and attention. And I honor the light in you that's also in me. Namaste.